Swinging a drive down the left field line. If it's fair, this game is over. It's hooking. It is fair, and the Rangers win. Jake Berger with a walk-off hit, and Texas comes back and beats the Snakes 7-6. Losing streak snapped. Rangers get the W.
You're an idiot, and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not be romantic about poetic justice? Finally, they bailed out Nate Eovaldi.
Yes.
After the pitching staff bailing out this team day after day after day in April and May and the first part of June. Now, the offense did come to play. They had the number one runs per game from June 6th on. No coincidence when our 9:20 on Wednesday guest, Brett Boone, generally kind of took over. Well,
that means the Rangers will win tonight and score at least five with Boone on tomorrow.
Yes.
That's the way it goes.
Yes. Yep. Always. Always happens that way, right?
That's the way Brett Boone go.
I almost
changed this, too. I was thinking, what is it, too late? Can we start a show? I'm going to go into the bedroom.
I was thinking the same thing.
In the living room. If it wasn't for me like watching some other like YouTube barbecue video while the game was going on, like having the game on but looking at another video, and then Wyatt changed everything.
What a great
everything.
Job by Du Bois.
Everything. If they got through that inning, because was it the sixth that he hit that home run?
Mm-hmm.
If they got through that, I mean, they've been 6-1, and it's like, all right, look, they're not going to score. They got 9 outs left. You know, they're not going to go, and they're not going to come back in this game. We were the same way. We were going to go true crime, bed by nine. We were going to rhyme it up, baby.
Rhyme it up.
Rhyme it up, man. Bottle of wine, true crime, bed by nine. And White hits the home run, and then Rowdy ties it up, and they get the Berger pinch hit, I guess, doubled on the line.
This was the last four starts he's had that they've lost. They haven't lost four in a row of his starts, but just the last four times Eovaldi started a game, they've lost. In three of them, he allowed a run or less in six innings or more. So, like you're talking about, yeah, this is the very first time he's gotten picked up, because there have been three separate occasions recently where they lost games that they had no business losing after he threw a gem.
None.
And he was the most frustrated. You'll see him all year long.
He was.
He was showing the emotion out on the mound. Hitting two guys as well. Gave up five home runs on the year coming in to last night. And then, bam, gave up three.
Yeah, and Benny talked about, like, first, second inning, you could pick up on where these guys and what they have. And you could see early on his... So, the right before Locklear hit the home run, the guy who was up before was a lefty. Nate throws a curveball outside, and it just stays in the righty batter's box. And, like... Every pitcher who's pitched from, like, I don't know, 12 years old on has thrown that curveball. It just stays out there. So the next hit, next pitch, throws it again, kind of stays out over the plate, doesn't do much, guy flies out. He throws it to Locklear, bam, gone. Later on in the game, he throws that same pitch to the batter before to Perdomo. Very next pitch, fastball, gone. You're looking at something.
I'm looking at... So I was trying to kind of dive. Go ahead, finish your point.
So it's just like they knew, obviously, they could eliminate that pitch. But, you know, this is, and Smoltz has talked about this on the broadcast. Five games, you're going to have unhittable stuff. Five games, you're going to have nothing. Nate had nothing. He had nothing. And you know you have nothing when that same pitch, and he kept trying to go back to it, he could not get it to move. I mean, even when he got it over the plate, it wasn't fooling anyone. They were still making solid contact. And that's a pitch that Nate really needs.
So I was trying to dive in a little bit deeper into the Bochy decision to pinch hit Berger for Jock. Now, I know that they had a lefty out on the mound, so you're not going to have Jock up there a lot of times. But the reason I was making a face, 153 at-bats for Jock Peterson this year. How many against lefties?
153 at-bats?
Yeah.
11.
15. I have no clue.
5.
Hmm.
Does that seem like really unusually low? I was looking at the at-bats and I was like, this can't be right. 140, because, right, at first it's like, all right, Jock is kind of getting going a little bit, but you're going to pinch hit Jock. And now you see 5 at-bats versus lefties for Peterson. So that took me by surprise. hit, and he doesn't have a hit. Zeros across the board.
He is, for his career.
Wait, why does it say, it says 5 at-bats, 6 walks.
Oh, well, because those are considered at-bats.
Okay.
Yeah.
5 at-bats, 6 walks, no hits.
He is a 208 hitter for his career against lefties.
Yeah.
And what's he against righties?
242.
I mean, that's not like, it's not like he's Tony Gwynn.
His OPS is 200 points apart between righties and lefties.
Okay. I mean, some guys.
I was just surprised at the small amount
of
at-bats against lefties.
That's a very low number. Vegas does not want the Texas Rangers to win the American League West. The Angels are 250-1 to win the West. The Rangers are 18-1. So, Astros, Mariners, both -110. They're basically even to win the AL West. Vegas, though, does not want the Rangers. The Rangers at 18-1, 34% of all bets on the AL West, in terms of money, are on the Rangers. 39% on Seattle. But Seattle's got much better odds from a Vegas perspective. If the Rangers win, Vegas takes a bath on this baseball team. A bath.
They also don't want them to win because they're getting the A's. And they want the A's to win the West.
Well, the A's are off the board.
Yeah, see? A's are conflict of interest.
Off the board.
Well, so, I wouldn't worry too much.
I wouldn't.
Is it 5.5 or 6.5, I said earlier?
6.5.
6.5 in the West, 2.5 in the wild card with where things stand now with Jack Leiter on the mound tonight. 6:30 pregame, first pitch, 7 o'clock.
How are the Rangers doing in attendance this year in Major League Baseball? Well, year to year, this came out, they did an audit of the first, let's see, 4 months of the season in MLB attendance. The Rangers are down about 10% year to year. They're 15th overall. And it does appear that MLB attendance is kind of way up because, you know, they're getting 30,000 a game at 15th overall, 14, 15, depending on, you know, whether you, I think the most up-to-date one they boosted after the Phillies series, the Phillies and Yankees series, boosted them up to 14 and over the 30,000 per game threshold. That's really high to have half your league averaging 30,000 people a game.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm trying to look. There was a note a couple weeks back, I'm trying to find it right now, of the Rangers were down near the very bottom of the league in terms of, like, if you just look at raw attendance, that's one thing. But in terms of filling up the stadium, like capacity crowd, they were near the bottom, I think.
The Rangers?
Yeah.
So they have, look at this right here, 74% is their average percentage of capacity used. San Diego's at 100%. Their stadium capacity, they average, again, how does this happen? Their stadium capacity is 39.8, and they average 42.4 per game. Like, what kind of math is this? What's going on? I guess standing room, obviously, but most of the teams in the top 10, in fact, all the teams in the top 10 of attendance are averaging 80% capacity. It's the Dodgers, Padres, Yankees, Phillies, Mets, Cubs, Braves, Giants, Red Sox, Astros, and then you get to the Blue Jays at 77%, and the Rangers are at 74%. But year to year, they're down 10%. That's to be expected. The year after you win the World Series is going to be a massive boost. And then when you miss the playoffs, you're going to drop down again.
That's up a little bit, though, because one of the numbers I just saw was in June, like the beginning of June, the Rangers were 68% year over year.
Looking at game time, like just section 217 for tonight, $20, including fees.
That's
320 up top. $12, row 2. I got section 227, row 1, $17, including fees.
Man, section 217, that is just down the first baseline. Those are great seats.
125, row 12, $24, including fees. Wow. Those are some pretty good prices.
Those are really good prices. Hey, let's do this because we love poking fun.
Yesterday in our meeting, Spittle couldn't take it anymore. We were just insulting everything and making fun of everyone. And he's like, man, you guys are really toxic.
We are toxic.
Gavin Dawson's
right. We are toxic. But we're not as toxic as the worst fan base in the sport.
We could not do a national show. So many times the insults that we throw out about other people, whether they're guests, past guests, possible future guests, they would never come on. Like, it would come back to us so much more. Oh, but we could never be on a national, or we'd have no guests ever on.
Right, yeah. That's fine. We like to hear ourselves talk.
We can carry it. We can carry it.
Yeah, we can carry it. I love this, though. The worst fan base, the sport. That is who?
In baseball, the worst fan base?
You think it's the Cardinals.
It's the Cardinals.
Oh.
They are down 21% in attendance year to year, getting only 65% of their capacities. Oh, but I thought they were the best fans of baseball. I thought they don't boo.
No matter what.
I thought they show up no matter how bad the team is. Well, the shoe's on the other foot now, isn't it there, Buster?
And they okay? They love tipping their cap to people who pitch perfect games against them. And
tip that cap to them.
Man, they're really...
They're insufferable.
They're in an unfair spot in their division. They're two games over, okay?
Over 500?
The Rangers are two games over. Yes, 500. Same exact record. They're 14 back in the Central in fourth place.
Yeah, that's tough. That might make me a little salty and say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to
Well, that's because you've got the Milwaukee Brewers, who have won 10 straight. They have the best record of the sport. They are 74-44. Since Memorial Day, they are 47-16.
It's not even close. They have the best. Well, it's a little bit close with the Cubs. They have the best run differential in the sport at plus 138. There is no one in the American League that's even plus 90.
Yeah, and I'm calling Milwaukee the anti-lytics, not the analytics team, the anti-lytics team.
Oh.
If you look at their players.
We need to start praising whoever their front office GM and manager are. They need to become nationally known.
Yeah,
ESPN, gosh. Focus on that. Huh? Like, educate us on baseball, ESPN. Are you talking to me or Peyton?
No, the manager's Pat Murphy. You know, he had the pancake pocket.
That's right.
Maybe it's the pancake. Maybe that's what's doing it.
Yeah, let's see. Matt, let's see. Matt
ESPN
Arnold.
Should be highlighting stories like that to educate us on the Brewers, their front office, versus, you know, what tennis shoes were they wearing at the Jerry premiere?
Yeah. David Stearns was their president. Oh. He's now with the Mets.
Rest in peace, Commissioner.
Absolutely. he's now with the Mets, but he had been there for years. And, you know, people liked him, generally thought he was really, really solid. But, you know, if you take their players who have played 100 games, now that's most guys because they've played, what'd you say, Bobby? The team's played about 120 games.
Most teams are right around there.
So the guys that have played 100 games this year, they don't have a single hitter with an OPS above 780 for guys who have played 100 games this year. They are not worried about home runs. Their highest home run guy is Yelich with 22. After him, nobody has more than 17. They've got one other guy. So they've got two guys who have more than 12 home runs in the year. We're in August. Cal Raleigh has 45. And the Brewers are here at 74-44, winners of 47 of their last 63 games.
That's pretty good.
And they have two guys with more than 12 home runs. They are the anti-lytics. They are we are putting the ball in play. They're probably boring as hell to watch, right? Because there's no home runs. I don't know what kind of, I haven't paid attention to them. I don't know what kind of strikeouts. Sal Frelick, whatever that is their leading hitter at 291.
Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers after the comeback win of the season last night on this station. It'll happen again with a 6:30 pregame and Brett Boone tomorrow at this time. Rangers hitting coach. Let's check out what's happening in Oxnard and get the top audio from the blue carpet for the Cowboys Netflix premiere. Emmett Smith and others going off on the current and the past. We'll take you inside the Star with Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com after this. I thought we were getting Hollywood insider Mario Lopez on the red or blue carpet, whatever it was last night in Hollywood for the Cowboys Netflix premiere. Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly, but did all of you, the .com people stay home in Oxnard?
Wow. So didn't expect to get shots taken at me. Good morning, first of all, guys. Hope you guys are doing great.
We don't do all these pleasantries, Loffenberg. It's just like, why weren't you at the premiere?
Well, we had somebody else on our team plan to go, and then they came down sick. So there was just kind of no – no real way to rebound and get anybody there on time. But it's all good. We still had some folks there that were covering it for us, and there's an article on our .com site. So if you want your Hollywood insight, Sean, you can go to DallasCowboys.com and read the piece that I wrote last night.
Are people allowed to reveal? What did you hear about the actual film, and how much is actually allowed to be revealed about it before it airs on Netflix Tuesday?
I'll be honest. I don't know what I can reveal about it. I've seen the first three episodes.
Oh.
And so, you know, I think it's going to be a storytelling of the 90s Cowboys and, you know, some of the, I think, you know, if you've covered the team for a while, you know, most of the stuff is kind of just things you already know, but it's cool to see like a deeper dive into it and see all these personalities and big names talking about it. I think it's really well done, and I think it's going to be something that a lot of people enjoy.
So first three episodes were on the past.
I really think the whole series is on the past. It's about the 90s Cowboys and just kind of the how that was built, how Jerry bought the team, you know, what his philosophy was behind that, things like that.
Your thoughts on the Rams opener and what Brian Schottenheimer wants to clean up?
Well, I think, you know, you don't want to take too much away from one preseason game, right? You don't want to put too much stock into, okay, this is what the team is going to look like. This is what everybody looks like at full strength, because they had 37 players that didn't play, and a good probably 27 or so of those would be guys who are starters or in the starting rotation for you. So that said, you know, I think you look at some of the guys that did play, and, you know, you're a little concerned. I thought against the run, you know, some of the defensive tackles, when I watched the game back, did a better job than I thought they did. And really, it was the linebackers that I thought didn't have the best night stepping up and filling their gaps in stopping the run. I think they got pushed out one too many times. I remember one rep specifically where Drake Stoops, of all people, boxed out Marquise Bell on a run play pretty good. And, you know, Marquise Bell is way too good of a player to be getting boxed out by Drake Stoops. So, you know, it's those kinds of things that, whether it be first preseason game rust or whatever, that you can't have happen. I don't think they were as physical as I was expecting them to be with how much Brian Schottenheimer has preached physicality in training camp. And then offensively, you know, I think that Joe Milton was just kind of all over the place. I don't think he was settled in. I think there could have been a better job of getting him settled in. You know, I don't know if I would have called six straight passing plays to get a guy settled in. And if I did, I don't think I would be, you know, looking downfield as much as Joe Milton was. But again, you don't put too much stock into preseason games. There's a lot to improve, and I think everything that Shoddy was talking about in terms of what they need to improve was spot on.
Your best guess as to who QB2 will be against Philadelphia will be Joe Milton, Will Greer, or other?
I think it'll still be Joe Milton. I don't think this team makes that trade for him if they don't, and doesn't add anybody else at that specific time if they don't want him to be, if they don't want him to be their backup quarterback. You know, it just, if you go out and get a veteran guy, it's one thing to be a veteran guy, but it's another thing to learn the playbook and get ingrained into the scheme and get familiar with the offense. So, you know, you're taking a little bit of a risk there, bringing a guy in late, albeit he has NFL game experience. You know, he may not be on the same page with the head coach. So, not to say Joe Milton wasn't in that same spot when the Cowboys traded for him, but at least he's further along in that process and has some of the tools that if they can get refined, you know, he can go out and win some games for you, potentially. But, you know, if you're counting on a guy to win you a game, for a week, I was going through this exercise with somebody the other day. If you need the Cowboys to win one game, who's your backup quarterback? I would probably lean Will Greer. But if you know, you need a guy for 4 or 5 weeks, then I think you lean Joe Milton just to get the reps. But that's at this point in time. We'll see how he is after two more preseason games and see if he's taking the steps in the right direction.
Okay, so if you say that Milton's still QB2 for Philadelphia, does that mean Will doesn't make the team, or they are going to carry three?
I don't think they carry three. I think it's the more or less what they did Well, I know they carried three last year. I apologize. I think Will Greer's probably, you look at a practice squad for Will Greer. Obviously, that you take the risk of Will Greer going elsewhere, if that's the case. But I don't think they go three. It wouldn't shock me if they did, just because I know how highly they think of Will Greer. But I think that they'll get to a point where they're confident enough in Joe Milton, whatever that may look like, and they go with him and Dak Prescott.
Tommy Yarsh from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Tommy, which side of the ball is more prepared to play week one against the Eagles right now, the offense or the defense? Who's kind of lagging?
I would say the offense. In terms of the starting offense, yeah, I think the offense is more in rhythm. I think having Dak Prescott back under center, it goes without saying, but that's, you know, so big for this team. And, you know, again, I know it gets reiterated and regurgitated all the time, and this is a guy who, before his injury, was a runner-up for the MVP, and I'm not to say that he's going to be that exact same player in 2025, but he's got one of his best supporting casts around him that he's ever had, and I think you're seeing some of that click in training camp practices. You know, will it maybe take a little while for him in that Philly game to get reacclimated to the speed of the game and, you know, playing against another team? Maybe. It depends if he plays in the preseason this year for the first time since 2019. But just because of so many familiar faces in that room for him, I think that they're ready to go, and they're going to be the better unit. And, you know, defensively, that's not to say that they're going to be a poor unit per se, but as long as Micah Parsons is not playing or not on the field or not participating, whatever you want to call it, the offense is at a better spot in terms of September 4th right now.
Tommy, who ends up playing the third most snaps at receiver for the Cowboys this year?
Kevontae Turpin.
Ooh.
I think. With how much they've used him in practice, I would be – I could make a case for Tolbert just because of what he was for them last year in that spot. But, I mean, it seems like they are not shying away from the fact that they want to get Kevontae Turpin the ball in his hands. And so even if that's just putting him on the field to use him as a decoy because of how quick he is, that's going to open things up for a lot of guys. So they're going to have a lot of speed on the field with, you know, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, and you throw Kevontae Turpin into that mix, and Jake Ferguson if you're an 11. And it's going to be hard to guard all four of those guys because, you know, you're going to have to give extra attention to Turpin's speed, and you've got two great wide receivers on either side and then a good tight end at the seam too. So I think that those four make, you know, the most sense just in terms of you're starting three receivers and then you're starting tight end.
I mean, imagine how much more difficult it would be if you actually put Tolbert out there who's actually done something as opposed to Turpin. What did Jalen Tolbert do to Bobby that makes him want to get rid of him so fast?
Well, that sounds like a Bobby question, not a. I mean, I couldn't tell you what he did to Bobby unless I missed something. If he like dunked on Bobby, no. I don't know.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
Does he make the team, or is he traded?
No, he makes the team. Now, I think, you know, I've seen a lot of chatter online about, you know, is Jalen Tolbert trade bait? Like, is he a guy that, you know, they could look at moving just because he's got that pretty team leading, led the team in touchdowns tag next to him for next year? I mean, it wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world. I don't think it happens as it stands right now just because of how productive he was. But, you know, I will say he hasn't had a great camp. He really hasn't had a great camp, and there have been some days where, you know, you just kind of go, and he just doesn't make a lot of plays. I will say the last week or two has been better for him. I think he's rebounded a little bit, but in those preseason reps that he got, you know, I'm not sure if that's a guy that I would be throwing bubble screens to. I don't really think of him as a guy who, you know, makes guys miss in the open field very well, but With how productive he was and with how familiar he is in the offense and how familiar he is with Dak Prescott, at this point, I don't see any reason why he doesn't make the team or why he gets traded.
And Choppy, it's not that he's done anything to me. Jalen Tolbert, I've read some great things about him from Garrett Padel at CBS Sports. But to me, the bigger thing is that the way they've done trades in the past has been Noah Igbinoghene, you go make that trade at the end of camp. You make the Andrew Booth trade at the end of camp. That's how I look at it, Tommy. I just look at it, Tolbert, as being, hey, we need some depth somewhere else. Let's trade somebody with some experience for their guy with experience who also is disappointed potentially.
And no, and that's a good point. You know, when you look at this roster, and especially at corner and defensive tackle, I totally see why there is chatter in terms of, hey, we need a veteran one technique that can plug the runner. Hey, we need somebody at corner that can hold us down until, you know, Trevon Diggs, Savone Revel, and those guys get back and healthy and in the mix. So, you know, is Tolbert a guy that could get you a higher quality guy than maybe some other guys on your roster? Absolutely. Absolutely. But at the same time, you know, it just comes down to, are the Cowboys comfortable enough with the rest of that wide receiver room behind him and moving Kevontae Turpin there more full-time to be able to pull the trigger on something like that?
Thank you, Tommy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
All right, guys. I appreciate you guys. Sorry I can't be a Hollywood reporter. I'll try better next time.
Yes, try better. We really need that recap. But you already saw the first three episodes. That's all we needed. Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly.
He's getting sassy as he gets older.
Wow. As he gets older.
Yeah, from what, 19 to 20?
As he
found a hair, and now all of a sudden he's...
comes drinking age?
Yeah. He found a hair down there, and now he's like, hey, let me chest up. Let me chest up a little bit. Maybe it's those Oxnard mornings out there.
I'm ready for some jabs during the season now. This is going to be fun. Wow.
Let's finish up Ask Reddit with the KNC masterpiece, Fred Davis's final morning on the midday before the return of Heggy. We'll finish up Ask Reddit with the fellows after this.
3-2. Swinging Langford, drives one to left. Home run streak is over. That ball is out of here. 100 straight plate appearances without a homer. He finally leaves the yard. First one since July 11th, and it brings the Rangers to within a run at 6-5.
Sandman with the call is part of the comeback. It's Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece featuring Fred Davis here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. Ian Rappaport 6 minutes ago saying Jordan Love tore a ligament in his left thumb and had a procedure to repair it, according to their GM. Little procedure, should not miss any regular season time after banging on a helmet, taking a sack. Did you guys see that they like tried to Tennessee volunteer some of their lowlights in their scrimmage? Like,
did they?
Scrubbing or wiping bad Jordan Love plays? I thought I saw that somewhere.
Huh. And that's why McCarthy thought he could control the narrative when he got here.
RIP. Tank Top Tuesdays?
Yeah, that was a summer thing.
It's still summer. Why does August get so disrespected?
I was ready to go.
You said the other
August
day summer was over.
Month. Yeah.
Feels like it's over.
Yeah, Sean, come on.
Hold on. You just lost your
We're in the waning moments.
For a second. You just said that August was... Okay.
Summer's over.
Kids started school today. So summer for them is over. And so for me also, guys.
You got a nice tan.
Yeah.
Your face looks tan.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I feel fantastic thanks to the sun.
I don't want to see you in the pool the rest of the year.
Oh, you can't.
I mean, as soon as the show's over today, naked in the pool.
Can't. Naked.
Summer's over.
Kids are that's different. The kids are going to be at school. That means nobody's going to be in the backyard walking around doing stupid stuff. So,
have you gotten in naked?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
First time I did though, it was during one of those Rangers games. You know, whenever we get like off at like noon or whatever, I went home, got in the pool, was sitting there, and I was like, "Sun needs to see or ass needs to see some sun." Mm-hmm. And so,
sun needs to see some ass.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Son came home with all his friends, and they went straight through the gate. And I was like, y'all don't want to do this.
Oh, no.
He was like, what? Oh, never mind. Yeah. I was like, yep, dad's naked right now.
You don't want to know what I do with the Jets when I'm in there naked.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I can only imagine.
Lord have mercy.
But, Sean, this is
it's like an in-pool colonoscopy.
Just wakes you up. Wakes you up.
It's like a bidet.
Yes.
But in the pool.
Just like a bidet.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's his senior year. This is a senior year.
Emotional.
I did not expect to be emotional this morning, but I definitely have been already. So I don't know if I'll make it today.
Bob,
you got it.
It's all Fred today.
You got it.
Did you have school starting today?
Oh yeah, we had school starting today. I asked Kristen during the break. I was like, so how'd it go this morning? And she sent me pictures of Laura, and this was Laura leaving the house this morning looking like that.
Ooh.
Pissed.
Yeah. What's she upset about?
But then she doesn't want to go to school. But then I guess Kristen like twisted her arm because the picture behind that one was this one where she's smiling and she looks genuinely happy, which proves they can fake any emotion they want.
They sure
can. They can sell you whatever they want. And in this instance, she was selling happy. But yeah, they both start school today.
Tomorrow, like everybody else at 10, except for Bobby's kids. I don't know.
I think there's only like
Corey
one
literally
school
just
starting
mentioned
tomorrow.
His kids.
I saw the other day, Monday was a few. Most of them are starting today. And then tomorrow, it's like two school districts.
15 years of this, bro.
Oh, and this is after we did that. We were reading a quarterback list, a quarterback ranking list earlier today, and they said Justin Herbert was 7th. And John was like, "This is ridiculous." And then we went back and we found his spring list where he had Justin Herbert 8th.
Well, hang on, that's one thing he should be raised
on.
One.
Why is
what's
how
he
is
done
that an issue?
The offseason? How is that an issue? He's overrated. If he's ranked one up, what's the difference?
That's good.
If I said he was 5th, and I got upset that he was 7th,
because if I say a restaurant's an 8 and you freak out, but you have them at a 7.5.
That's
not justifying the freak out.
Oh, I think
I can already tell by your face, and you know you're full of BS.
You choppy face out. What are you talking about?
Choppy BS face.
That's absolutely justifying the freak out.
You're trying to hold in your laugh. Fred, when do your kids go to school?
I've got one left that I know of, but no, my son starts his senior year next week. So he's in Kansas. So flew him back on Sunday. But no, they've got what they start football practice this week. I've got a 22-year-old daughter, so I've already gone through this once. But no, he starts his final year next year.
How high are your pool walls? Like the walls of your house?
Walls of my
Yeah, like the neighbors can't.
Oh, my fence.
Yeah, your fence.
Yeah, nobody neighbors can see.
Sorry, I thought I was talking to Choppy, talking about the walls.
8-foot fence. Yeah, it's 8-foot.
It's a beautiful
fence.
Wonderful door. We got a little peephole. Okay, we can look right into the peephole and see who's coming in and who's going out. We're sending them out of that same door.
8-foot.
Yeah, 8-foot.
So there's no second story like next to you to look down.
No.
Oh yeah.
No, we're really and all the like most of the neighbors have pools too. I still think this was a community of swingers
freaks?
At one point.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are there like pineapples and everything?
Yeah. And the what is it? Pampas grass. You know, a bunch of different houses. Yeah. That's a sign. Keep that out.
Pampas grass?
Pampas grass.
What is pampas?
Look it up. It's the grass. It's
the
tall.
Swinger grass.
Yeah, it's the swinger grass.
You mentioning our children going back to school, by the way, and Fred kind of being like, I mean, he's gone back, but I've been through this once before, reminded me of, I think you'd be interested in weighing in on Fred's take the other day about dating profiles and what you put in them. The bio line that immediately rules somebody out for you.
Oh, we talked about this on Friday, and I mean, this is a standard for me. Any woman that says, my kids are my world,
he's out on.
Get him out.
You and David, opposite of David Justice. Why out? Because it needs to be like you, or you're not believing them?
No. Because and the text messages have overwhelmingly supported me on this. Whether I've said it at night or whether I said it on midday on Friday. Because if a woman's kids are her world, then you're just along for the ride. Those kids will do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
She's their friend, not their mother. Mm. And good luck.
Okay.
I'm dealing with that right now.
Man, your personal, you need a podcast. I would listen to just your personal life podcast. I'm in. Subscribe.
So I mocked my son's girlfriend and her family last week. Okay.
You're drinking the coffee.
And
the water.
They were listening to the show, which they've never done before. All right.
Well,
but,
Sean and RJ.
That's why, right? And so they texted, she texted her, his girlfriend texted, my mom and my stepdad are listening to your dad's talk about me and us. Da, 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 da. My dad's like, hey, it's radio. All is fair play. And I'm waiting for them to say something to me. I hope they do.
Well, it's been a week, though.
It's been a week.
No, but I'm talking about when I go up to Kansas to go see him play football because they'll be there. So I'm hoping one of them says something.
Yeah, they don't want to catch a hard left from Serenity.
No, they don't.
All right, Bob, let's finish
or a lap
up.
Dance.
Ask
one of the two.
Reddit.
All right, let's finish up some Ask Reddit here. Fred Davis, I can only imagine what the answer is going to be. What in life gives you the most natural dopamine? Which is the reward chemical. It's basically joy.
Right. Not children.
Right. No,
the other children.
No, it's the practice that does. I mean, that's one. And then I think anytime you close a deal, anytime you close a deal.
What's the last
what deal do you close?
I roof.
He's a roofer.
Oh, that's right.
I roof.
I roof.
I love it. And roof. I do a little freelance writing from here to time to time. So, yeah, anytime you get an email or a call that says, look, we're going with you, I mean, that's, I mean, that's always a good feeling.
Chop.
Something as simple as someone smiling at you. Gives you like happy feels.
Does it? Wow. Does that do it for you?
Yeah.
That's you're the last person I would have guessed would have given that answer.
Someone's smiling.
Who are you?
Look at that.
Just made Choppy feel so good.
That a boy, Corey.
Smiling at Choppy.
Just smile at me. I don't care if it's gas. I don't care if you just have gas and you smile. Just smile. Look at Medford over there. So smiling.
So if a dude smiles at you in the locker room at the gym, you're cool with that? That What's makes that? You feel good. So if a guy smiles at you in the locker room at the gym, you gives you a warm fuzzy.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. I mean, it could be anything. I mean, he could have just stepped up the scale and it's like, hey, I'm all happy. You know,
what
I'm
if he just what if he just stepped out of the shower?
Or what if he had a hair dryer in his hand?
No, he's walking out of the shower and he's looking
smile
at you,
at me, look
locks
at me.
Eyes,
you know,
and
like,
smiles
great.
At you.
Look at me. Smile, smile all you want.
You know, Corey, the gym gives you a natural dopamine.
That's true. It does. That's a good point. That is a great point.
Corey, natural dopamine.
On Saturday. Somebody, a friend of mine said, hey, Tolo, and so we FaceTimed him. And my friend was like, does being a celebrity make you feel good? And I was like, I always enjoy when we get to make somebody's day. But then as I was leaving, his daughter said, can I have a hug? And when my daughter comes up to me at night, it's like, Dad, can I have a hug? Like, that always does it right there.
I thought you were going to downplay like being a celebrity like the rest of us do.
I love being a celebrity.
Gosh, the impact I can have on people.
I want more celebrity, actually, so yes. I can help more.
Everybody, this is you guys should probably know this by this point. Nothing I love more than a big rush of right. I'm right and you're wrong.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Bobby's answer is other people's misfortunes.
Ooh. What did you say this morning, Sean? My mind is my mind. Before it was, you know, when y'all were talking about Taylor Swift and how he doesn't want to change his mind because he doesn't want to like her.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Give me a big old line of being right. Got it. Sean, you got one here?
I think, you know, not closing a deal, but like getting a great deal for me.
Yeah.
Like if I know like, I got that. Yeah,
same thing, right? Yes.
Like 2-for-1. I know that this was like, I got the stock at its lowest point.
Yeah.
And it's not going to go any lower
than
that.
And it went to the moon the next day.
Yeah, it doesn't apply to my portfolio.
Kristen hates that I don't get her rush when she gets that. Like she tries to go, do you know how much this was? I'm like, yeah. No clue. And I guess, and then I'm like, that's good. And she just like, it almost just saps her edge of like, you're supposed to be pumped
happy
about this
about
one.
It.
All right. RJ Choppy, what's a celebrity rebrand that actually worked?
A-Rod worked. Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks.
Really?
What's his rebrand? Comedy actor to,
he went from being Forrest Gump to a pedo, right?
Huh?
He went from Forrest Gump to being a pedo. I mean, what kind of rebrand is that?
I don't understand.
What's a pedo?
I think you got it.
Like a pedo?
Yeah.
He what?
Well, yeah,
what role was he?
You guys not follow? I mean, what's your algorithm on social media? Anyway?
Wait, this is that's why
I mean, especially you.
Media.
I mean, you of all people, I'm surprised.
Wait, are we talking about Tom Hanks?
I feel like this is a very conservative approach.
Is this
at a certain
role,
time,
or did he get in news trouble?
No, he was a comedy actor, and then all of a sudden he started doing like serious films. He's talking about.
I'm asking about Fred's.
Yeah,
Fred's talking about the dark web and Reddit sub forums. Fred's talking.
Wasn't there a suggestion like he was vampire and children?
Okay.
Bobby knows what I'm talking about.
Thank you. I bet Hagelin probably knows what you're talking. He always brings up some wild references.
I say I don't.
I'm surprised you don't know that.
I am surprised you have not.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm surprised you haven't delved to those waters either. Fred, a celebrity rebrand that worked.
Oh man. A celebrity.
I'll tell you what.
Bryan Cranston.
From what? From Malcolm?
From Malcolm in the Middle to Walter White.
That's a great one.
I mean,
what about Sandler? Do you consider Adam Sandler?
Jared's kind of been the same dude the whole time.
I mean, he's kind of douchey.
Sandler. No, you know who I would?
Uncut Gems was tremendous.
My thought was Robert Downey Jr. was the first one because he was
a good one.
That's a good one. 682 just sent that in.
Yep.
The other one that I kind of like, and we just got another good one from 325, Bryson DeChambeau. That's another one.
Mike Tyson and Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Martha.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop, definitely.
I mean, he was literally charged with murder.
He was a gangster.
Now, look at him now.
Now he's cooking with Martha Stewart.
I mean, there was a... I don't know if it's a rebrand necessarily. Shaq's reputation has changed completely from when he left L.A. Like, he was thought of as just a malcontent and everything. Now everyone's just like, oh, he's big, lovable, and everybody loves him, and he's what he is. Do you have one here?
I threw out Adam Sandler, but that's nowhere near as good as the other ones y'all threw out.
Tim Allen, 469, went from jail to Santa Claus. So that's a lot of people, I feel like, forget that. Did you know that about Tim Allen? 1979, he was arrested in the Detroit airport for cocaine possession because he was smuggling it.
Back in the day.
What about, who's a musician who made a great crossover? Would you say?
I mean, would you go Post Malone?
Post Malone's not a bad one. Yeah. Jelly Roll was a rapper, and now he's country music.
Yeah. What about Miley Cyrus?
Shut up.
That was an awful answer, dude. That was so terrible.
Dang it. Shut up.
We had 1 minute left.
I like that one.
We're back tomorrow. It is Fred Davis with Corey Majors for another day before Hagee's return. The KNC Masterpiece is next.